heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The Bible gives a beautiful picture of Timothy's faithfulness to God and his loyalty to the Apostle Paul. Go to Acts chapter 16. In Acts 16, we have the first mention of Timothy. Paul and Silas are on what we call the second preaching tour, or the second missionary journey. And when they come to Lystra, they find a young man named Timothy. Verse 1, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. The fact that he was well spoken of indicates that he must have been a Christian for a while. And since Paul refers to him as his son in the faith, I suspect that Timothy was converted on Paul's first journey into Lystra. Paul wants Timothy to go with him. How old is Timothy? I don't know. One thing I know is, 12 years later, Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise your youth. And still even later, he says to Timothy, flee youthful lust. So I take from that, he's a very young fellow at this point. But Paul wants him to go with him. And he goes. Eventually they get to Philippi. That's where Paul and Silas were severely beaten, cast into the inner prison, feet fast in the stocks. Where's young Timothy? I don't know where he is. I know where he's not. He's not on the road headed back home for Lystra. He has made a commitment to the Apostle Paul, and he's going to fulfill that commitment. And even though he sees Paul and Silas severely beaten and in prison, he doesn't turn back. They go on to Thessalonica. Something different happened in Thessalonica. Everywhere else, Paul and his company had received the brunt of the persecution. In Lystra, Paul had been stoned. As we just mentioned, in Philippi, Paul and Silas had been beaten and cast in prison, but not at Thessalonica. When those who hated the teaching went to Jason's house, thinking that they were at Jason's house, they didn't find Paul and his company, and so they dragged Jason and some other Christians down to the magistrates, and they took security from them, the young converts. Just converted are the ones who are getting the brunt of the persecution in Thessalonica. And meanwhile, Paul and Silas and Timothy, I guess we would say, are practically driven out of town. They get down to Athens. And Paul is concerned about those new converts. Up there at Thessalonica, how well are they handling their persecution? He couldn't send them an email. He couldn't call on the telephone. He sends Timothy. You know, I think if I had been Timothy, I would have said, you want me to go where? I want you to go to Thessalonica. But Paul, we just got driven out of town right there in Thessalonica. If Timothy ever said such a thing, we have no indication of it. If Paul wanted him to go to Thessalonica to check on those new converts up there, he would go. And he goes and comes back and gives a report. And that's the occasion when Paul writes 1 Thessalonians. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Paul makes such a remarkable commendation of Timothy in Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 19 beginning. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Timothy, a great young man. Now we go back to 2 Timothy. And Paul wants to see Timothy one more time before he dies. In fact, three times in this one letter, he mentions his desire to see Timothy. Look at chapter 1, for instance. Look at verse 3. He says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you. Here's this man who has been so loyal to the Apostle Paul, a young man. I want to see you. Go to the fourth chapter. Verse 9. He says to Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly. Then verse 21. Do your utmost to come before winter. Paul wants to see Timothy one more time. But it seems that just in case he doesn't, he writes this marvelous letter. That's such an encouragement to us. He gives a charge to Timothy. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again of chapter 4. I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. That sounds a bit elementary, doesn't it? Preach the word. But if it had application in that day, it has relevance for sure in our day. Have you ever sat through a sermon when hardly a scripture was used? I have. I remember one time taking my Bible with the intention of turning to every scripture that the preacher mentioned, and I turned to one, and then it was just kind of a passing reference. I remember sitting on another occasion, and I don't think one scripture was mentioned. Tim Walker, who has preached for you, now living in South Carolina, formerly with us, was telling me some time back that a number of people from the institutional church in Taylor's had come and were now worshiping where Tim preaches. He said they have been coming up to him and saying, we love your preaching. You're feeding us on the Bible. We're learning things. What have they been hearing? I was preaching down in Cullman County one night, and a man was there at the invitation of someone else, and he came out the door and he said, you preach the Bible. I love to hear Bible preaching. I heard more preaching of the Bible tonight than I've heard in 3 months where I regularly worship. The next night when I drove up, there he was in the yard again. I went up to him and I said, you mentioned that I had preached more Bible last night than you had heard in 3 months. What does the preacher do? He says he tells jokes. And everybody just loves it. Can you imagine? I've got a book here containing the mind of God, revealed by the Holy Spirit to the apostles and prophets. This contains the mind of God. Can you imagine me standing up here and closing the book and giving you my opinions about various things when I could be giving you a message from God's Word? Or maybe giving you kind of a summary of some book I've been reading. the thoughts of men when I could be giving you the mind of God. Preach the Word. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Do it with all long-suffering and teaching. Timothy, here's your charge. Did you notice the solemnity of the charge? Look at verse 1 again. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. What force is behind this charge? God is. Jesus Christ is. The judgment at His appearing and His kingdom. His appearing. A reference to the fact that Timothy, the Lord's going to come again. You better keep that in mind while you're preaching the Word. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. I want to start with verse 24. I just want us to see this reference to the Lord's appearing. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of others. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Did you notice three times the word appear is there? The first appearance that I would mention is when He was born of Mary. Now, you may have the word manifest. I think it is in some translations. But He appeared the first time on the earth in order to take away sin. Then He appeared in the presence of God as our high priest to offer His own blood in the presence of God. And now, verse 28 talks about the fact that He will appear a second time, not in regards to sin, but for salvation to those who eagerly wait for Him. The Lord is coming again. He's going to appear a second time. And that's a part of the solemnity of the charge that Paul has given to Timothy. I charge you. It's before God. It's before the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to do with the judgment that's to come and the fact that the Lord is going to appear a second time. I charge you with that in mind. Preach the Word. Well, we said it was a charge that would be a considerable challenge to Timothy. Why was this going to be a great challenge to Timothy? Well, let me give you three things. First of all, the spiritual climate has changed that he has known in the past. You know, you just think about it. He's been with Paul and he's seen success in the preaching. Church has begun at Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea and Corinth and Ephesus. Here's Timothy, been with Paul all of these times and seen these people converted and churches beginning, and it's not going to continue that way. Look again at verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Timothy, you're going to be preaching where people aren't going to want to hear you. You're not going to be the preacher that's always in demand. We kind of hear that expression all along. You know, he's in demand. Timothy's not going to be in demand. Their churches are going to be looking for somebody who will soothe their itching ears. Some of us can relate to that. When I was a young preacher, there was a lot of respect for the Word of God. People would respond to the gospel. Back in those days, when you'd extend the invitation, and many of you will remember this, then if somebody came down the aisle, you'd go out and meet them. You'd give them your hand. You'd kind of escort them, I guess you would say, down to the front. Do you remember that? I can remember seeing people come down three aisles at one time. At Eastside, Sam was the preacher. People coming down the aisle, and you want to go out there and get their hand, and you don't even know where to go. So many people are responding to the gospel. I don't know how long it was that I preached in meetings before nobody responded. And I was so discouraged. Nobody responded during the meeting. It was so common to see people responding to the invitation. And with the respect that so many people had in the Bible, if you could get a Bible study with somebody, you'd almost assume that you'd teach them and they'd respond. Boy, has that day changed. I'm thankful to say there are still people who love the truth, who want the Scriptures. But more and more, it's hard to get anybody to study with you. And when you do find somebody who will study with you, it may be that they will just kind of respond, well, that's an interesting idea. Timothy, the time is going to come, and you're going to be preaching. And they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, what is Timothy going to do? I mean, here are people. What is Timothy? Preach the Word. In the terminology of the old King James, be instant in season, out of season. You just preach the Word. And that's a challenge. And much of what has gone on with the preaching that is more entertaining than feeding is that preachers are still wanting people to listen and... No. Even when people will not listen. Timothy, preach the Word. That's a challenge. Now the second challenge involved in that charge is the fact that he's not going to have the aid and encouragement of the Apostle Paul anymore. We make a mistake when we separate verses 1 through 5 from 6 through 8. Let's go back and read verse 5 just to get the end of it, of the charge, and go on right into verse 6. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I'm already be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Can you imagine Timothy's emotions as he read those verses? Timothy, I'm I'm out of here. I'm finished. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Timothy, the burden of work now rests on your shoulders. Some of us can relate to that too. I remember a time when there were older preachers that I relied on. My dad, Granville Tyler, you ever heard of him? Irvin Lee, Frank Puckett, Robert Turner. There were men who encouraged me tremendously. Gary had his dad, and Marshall. Tim had his dad, and Carol. We all had those older preachers that we looked up to, and we'd call them if we were struggling with a passage of Scripture, and we would talk to them about that passage of Scripture, and we'd get help from them, and they would encourage us and help us in so many ways. Maybe somebody would call and ask us a question. We'd say, well, have you talked to Dad about that? Have you talked to Brother Lee? Then one day, they're gone. And here are young preachers calling me, asking me questions, getting advice from me. Well, why don't you? Well, they're dead. Kind of a lonely feeling, folks. But that's the way it works. And here is Timothy. Not only is he going to face a people who will not listen to the gospel, who wants their itching ears to be soothed, and he's not only facing that kind of a spiritual climate, but he's facing that without the aid and encouragement of the one who has been his mentor all through the years. I think we can just imagine how Timothy would feel as he realized this load now is mine. Now, there's a third thing that it seems to me enters into the challenge. There seems to be some indication that Timothy may have somewhat of a laid-back personality. Now, some have questioned that. I think questioned that because of some of what I've already talked about with Timothy. But I'm turning to the first chapter of 2 Timothy. And for some reason, Paul felt the need to write this to Timothy. Look at verse 6 beginning. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. You have a translation that may use the word timidity. God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul felt the need to write that to Timothy. Stir up the gift that's in you. We don't have a spirit of timidity. Does that not seem to indicate a little bit of a laid-back personality? Look at verse 3 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have different kinds of personalities. There's nothing wrong with a laid-back personality. There's not anything wrong with a more aggressive type of personality. But there are pluses and minuses with both. And there are things that have to be overcome with whatever kind of personality we have. I think the person with a more laid-back personality may have a greater time of contending earnestly for the faith. He may have a little bit of a harder time with the slings and arrows that come his way. And he has to take on a thicker skin. Is that the word we would use? Not get overly discouraged when people give him a hard time. Is Timothy going to have to do that? Stir up the gift that's in you. And Timothy is going to face some very difficult times. Look at chapter 3, for instance. Here's some things Timothy is going to face. Verse 1 beginning. But know this, that in the last day perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying His power. From such people turn away. Timothy, these are people, the types of people you're going to run into. Don't have a spirit of timidity. Don't be ashamed. You're going to run into these people. Verse 12 says, well, let's start with verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Timothy, if I'm correct, maybe the conclusions are not totally there, but Timothy, you do not have a spirit of timidity. You cannot. Stir up the gift that's in you. Don't be ashamed. Handle the afflictions that come your way. You're going to have to. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to come across these ungodly, unholy, unloving people. You're going to have to be strong, Timothy. That would be a challenge. And then Gnosticism. We haven't talked a whole lot about Gnosticism, but it's already beginning to get a bit of a hold. And if Timothy lived much longer, it would get a stronger and stronger hold, and Timothy would have to be facing Gnosticism. Preach the word. People are not going to be as responsive as they have been in the past. You're not going to have me to encourage you. You are going to be facing persecutions, and you cannot do it with timidity. Timothy, preach the word. You ever wondered how Timothy did with that challenge? Was he up to that challenge? I don't know. As far as I know, that's the last reference we have of Timothy. I've sometimes said, I'd like to have 3 Timothy. That would tell us about Timothy after Paul died. We don't have that. I would like to think, and all of us would like to think, and all of us almost assume that yes, Timothy was up to the challenge. Yes, he fulfilled the charge. And it matters. It matters to me. He's my brother. It matters to me whether Tim will be around the throne of God worshiping Him forever. Whether Gail will, whether Mark will. It matters to me because they're my brothers in Christ. You know, every once in a while, somebody comes and says, they've got a question. I say, I don't know the answer to that. I guess we'll have to just wait till heaven to find out. And then I say, then it won't matter anyway. It matters to me whether Timothy was faithful or not. I assume he was. And I hope that when we are there eternally with God, Timothy, faithful to the charge, will be there too. Now, what's all the application of this? Well, the application's obvious to those who teach the Bible classes and who preach the Word. How can we miss the application? Preach the Word. If people listen, preach the Word. If they don't listen, preach the Word. If difficulties come, preach the Word. That's easy. But it also affects those who may not do the preaching. I ask you a question. What kind of preaching do you want? Do you want preaching that really gives you the teaching from the Scriptures? Or would you rather have somebody that makes reference to the Scriptures, but mostly it's kind of a more entertaining style? And there are three kinds of churches. There is a church that will not accept sound teaching. They're very careful who they invite to come and preach for them. They're even careful about who they get to hold a meeting, because there are certain subjects that they do not want to be dealt with from their pulpit. I don't want to sound boastful, but I'm very grateful that there are churches that have said, we don't want him for a meeting. That's a compliment from that church. Second, there are churches that will accept sound teaching but not demand it. Consequently, somebody could move in with them and preach for 10 years and not give them the balanced, sound teaching that they need. And they'd allow that. The third type of church is one that not only accepts sound teaching, they will not accept anything less than that. They demand it. That's the kind of church that Some of a Road must be. That's the kind of church that Westview must be in Hartsel, where I'm a member. We must be a church that if we're not getting sound teaching, we'll find some way to get it, and will not accept anything less than that. And you must be one who contributes your thinking along that line and demands, because every person must long for the preaching of the Word, reproving, rebuking, exhorting, in season, out of season. Every one of us must either be that kind of preacher or desiring that kind of preaching. Are you there? Is that what you are? That's what we must be. If a church falls into that second category and for 10 years does not receive the type of teaching that it needs, you know what's going to happen to that church? They'll go into the first category, because they will become unaccustomed of good, sound teaching. And then when they get some, they won't tolerate it anymore. I have all the confidence in the world in Tim, in Gary, who preached for you a long time. If you have the kind of teaching that Paul urges Timothy to do, thank God for that. And lend your encouragement with all your might to that kind of preaching. And may God help you, the Westview Church, and churches everywhere to want that kind of preaching And may God help those of us who preach the gospel to be sure to preach the word, whatever opposition may come our way. Preach the word. That's the charge, and it's still a challenge, but we must meet the challenge. What does the word teach us in regards to salvation? Well, it teaches us Jesus Christ died for you. That's what it teaches us. That God's grace is extended through Him, and I appreciated the prayer that emphasized the grace of God over and over and over. Charlotte and I thank God that He was a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness and long-suffering so that we could live and die in hope and assurance and confidence. That's where salvation is found. And we find that and access that when we come to have faith in our Lord, not in ourselves. And that faith brings us to change, to repent, to go through a whole mental change, and then to confess Christ and to be baptized. And it's in baptism that forgiveness comes. That's what the Word teaches us. Maybe there's somebody that understands that tonight who never have done it. Maybe there's somebody who did it but hasn't remained very faithful. Then you need to make a move. And you have that opportunity to do so even now publicly. As we sing the song that has been selected, there's a fountain free. 'Tis for you and me. And it's open to every one of us. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing.